Peter 3, sort of the front and the end of the New Testament. Matthew 4 and 2 Peter 3. Excuse me. All right, Matthew 4 and just a little section here, verse 18. 4:18. This is one of the verses I memorized many, many years ago. Verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." Now, we'll stop there. Tonight, I want to speak to you about a man called Peter. And there are a number of things here, and what we'll do, we'll just touch on some of them for you. But there's one certain thing. And in speaking to you about this well-known person or figure in the New Testament, I want to show you some very curious, almost shocking things that God recorded about Peter in the Bible. And you don't pick them up by the first reading. You have to sort of, what I did, I took Peter's life every place it was mentioned in the New Testament, and I photocopied it, and I cut them out, and I pasted them all together, or taped them all together. And that way I had everything the New Testament said about Peter on some long computer sheets, and I could read all of it at the same time. And then with that, I took the two books that he wrote 30 years after this reading here. 1st and 2nd Peter. And boy, did I get a new look at a man called Peter. And I want to show you a few of these things. And in this first thing I want to show you, I'm going to have to pick my words that I use to talk about this first point concerning this fellow. And the reason I'm going to have to pick my words is because I want to get over into an area that's shaky, that's not nice, that may even be shady, an area in this fellow's life. And I'm not going to push it too far, but I hope I can take it further, far enough where you'll understand what we're talking about with Peter. So these things I want to share with you. Now, it's things I didn't put it in there. God put them in the Bible. And I've been able to see a few of them, and I believe they were put there to be seen and to learn from. And I want to share them with you. Now, here's my whole outline on it. We won't get to this at all tonight, but for the case we don't get back to it, it might help somebody on the tape. In studying about a man called Peter, first of all, I looked at Peter's names, and then I looked at Peter's claims, and then I looked at Peter's shames, and then I looked at Peter's fames. Now, I put them together under that, and everything about this guy fits under those four headings. But tonight, I want to talk to you about Peter's names. And this is where we get into this area that I'm talking to you about, and I'll move along careful with it. I want to begin by pointing out to you something you've already known. I'm sure you've heard it mentioned before, that in the Bible, Peter has three different names. Christ selected 12 apostles, and two of the 12 have three names each. I won't tell you the other fellow. Maybe you can look him up sometime. But Peter was the first one who had three names in Scripture. Now turn with me to John chapter 1, if you will, and we're going to just coast along here. We're looking first at Peter's names, all right? John chapter 1, and let's look at all three of them laid out here for us. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, look at John chapter 1 and verse 40. 1 and 40. Here's what it says. "One of the two which heard John," that's John the Baptist, "speak and followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." Right? There's one of his names. Simon Peter, two of his names. Look down at verse 42 for his third name. 42. Now, Andrew brings Peter to Christ. Incidentally, he wasn't saved there. He was introduced to the Messiah. In verse 42, and Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him or saw him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. He called him Simon, which son of Jonah, or Jonas, like Jonah and the whale, not the same man, of course. Thou shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now here in John chapter 1, in verse 40 and 42, we see that this fellow is called Simon. He's called Peter. But the Savior, when he first met him, I'm going to paraphrase, said, I know your name is Simon Peter, but so I'm going to tell you something. Well down the road, you're going to be called Cephas. That's the right name. Way on down the road, you'll be a Cephas. Now, here's how this thing works. All three of these names reveal a different side, or I can use this word maybe, reveal a different personality in this one person. Simon is a personality different from Peter and Cephas. And Peter and Cephas are personalities different from Simon. Now, what are you saying here? I'm simply telling you that Peter was one man with three different personalities. Now, that shouldn't be too hard for some of you to handle. For some of you have more personalities than he had, living in the same house. Now, you see the way we're going? We're talking about this fellow. Now, here's Peter. And incidentally, there's a vast difference between a person, Bill Smith, a person standing here. That person is reflected or revealed by his personality. I worked for many years in a shoe heel factory where they made, well, in those days they made them out of wood, women's high heels. Today they make them out of whatever, I don't know. You can see them walking on them, you wonder if they're made out of soap, you know. But anyway, I worked in a shoe heel factory, and one of my jobs was to take the applications and screen the applicants. And one of the things that Harry Darrah, the president, would ask me very often, he said, tell me, Randy, did you pick up anything about that personality? What kind of personality? They trained me. They gave me a letter. It stayed with me all of my life. Mr. Darrah was a godless man, but he was a clever man. And he was the president of the company. And Mr. Darrah would say this. He said, now, the first thing, when you hand them their application, look at their hands to see if their fingernails are clean. Now, I'm talking about the old-fashioned days. When people, you know, you didn't hire some deadbeat and bloodsucker. You couldn't get 5 hours work out of him all week, you know, and he had to back up to take his check. He's such a rat. I'm not talking about that. He said, he trained me this way. He said, the first thing, you look at their hand. Boy, I looked at him, man, I almost raised the paper up, you know, because I knew Darrah meant business. And he said, look at their hands and see, first of all, if their fingernails are clean. And he said, now, if they are a mechanic and they work in grease, if they're decently clean, we'll let them by. Now, there's something in that. I don't know if I told you, did you know that J.C. Penney's stores, you know, he was a great Christian. He went broke and started back again. Did you know J.C. Penney's, when he was hiring an executive, assistant executive, he'd take him out to eat. And he would always look to see if the man salted his food before he tasted it. And if he salted his food before he tasted it, he would never hire him. And some of you got that, and some of you never get it. And so, Mr. Darrah would often say, what kind of personality? Another thing he would ask, this. When women would come in for a job, he'd say, did they make any remarks about their husband or children? Some of them would say, my blinkety-blank husband ought to be strung up by the neck, you know, really. There's a little cubicle where we took the applications. And so what we're going to do tonight, I hope I can show you from the life of Peter that Peter was one fellow, one person, and inside that one person lived three different personalities. Now, this business, and some of you know where we're going, and you don't need any explanation on it. Now, this business of one person having a number of personalities is as valid as a sunrise. Now, when I hit on this, you know the first thing I did, I thought, that's a bunch of jazz. I knew that sometime I'm one guy and sometime another. But when I first hit on this some years ago, I thought, no, that can't be. And so the first thing I did, I went and bought two medical textbooks. Right here. You've read this one, preacher. I sent you this about 7 years ago. I went and bought two medical textbooks, and I've read them from start to finish. I'm going through this one the third time. Now, this is a female doctor, psychiatrist, medical doctor, Christian, lovely Christian. And this guy's the same. He's a Jew, she's a Gentile. So, boy, I got a cross-section here. Can't beat it with a drum. And so I said, all right, I'm going to see. Now, he's been practicing about 29 years, and she's been practicing about 8 years. So I got an old-timer and a novice. And I read them and put them together, and I'm going to tell you when one says two, the other says two. When one says jump, the other says jump. And so in going through these, I said, well, now, wait a minute here. Pike, you missed it again. You better back off. And so I've had the assistance and help of these. Now, this business of when it was medically discovered that one person can have a number of personalities, it all started in the 1950s. And it started when two medical doctors and psychiatrists, now listen, personally, I think most psychiatrists need one. That's how I feel about it. They may need three. And I think most psychologists need one. However, I've lived long enough to know that there are some like Friesen and some like Clark who don't need one. They got what it takes to be professional people. So don't worry. I'm not recommending you run off to the shrink. I think that's what they call them in this message. Now, this business of when it was discovered that Peter, well, I'm going to use Peter, but when people can be one person and have a number of personalities, it started back in the 1950s with two psychiatrists, medical practitioners working in a southern state. And they worked together when one, in fact, the story was they were supposed to have been twin brothers. Now, I found some contradiction on that, and I'm not sure. But when one had a case he couldn't handle, he would bounce it off his brother. When my brother was dying with cancer in the St. Thomas Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee, the two most famous doctors in St. Thomas were twin brothers, Doctors Vaughn. Remember them, Mother? Twins. My sister-in-law spoke of them so much. And so these two doctors had a patient, and her name was Eve White. She was a southern housewife, timid, reserved, just a good old southern girl, all right? And she came in for help. And so one took her through the preliminaries, and he said, what's going on here? And so he asked for an appointment for her, made an appointment for her to come back, and he went and shared his brother. And the brother took her in, and he came out like his other brother and said, man, wait a minute, two and two make eight and a half with this woman. Now, here's what they discovered. They discovered that this simple country girl, she was a mother and a housewife, one of the southern states, Georgia. And they discovered that as they were counseling her, that three different persons would emerge and talk to the doctors. In fact, the two doctors wrote a book about it called The Three Faces of Eve. And it was so famous, it was one of Hollywood's greatest movies. Three Faces of Eve. It was a valid thing. And so while they were working with her, first of all, there was Eve White. Like fried chicken, biscuits and gravy and country ham and turnip greens, spanked the kids when they didn't do well, sent them off to a good school. If the principal spanked them, she spanked them when they got home. You know how it used to be before we were blessed with liberation, you know. Oh, boy. Blessed with hell is what it is. She was just a good them. And then suddenly, and here's the names. Another person came up and said, my name is Eve Black. And this person, there was a tonal voice change. It's not demonology, apparently. Not demonology. I know some of you are thinking that. A voice came up, and this second Eve was Eve Black. The first one was white. This one's black. And this second one was loud, harsh, flamboyant, wild, even danced around the consolation, the counseling room, and tried to pull her clothes off for the benefit of the doctor. The third, Jane. Jane wouldn't give her name, her surname, her last name. Jane was a cool cat, a stable, responsible, professional businesswoman, and a brilliant mathematician. Now, when I read this thing, I thought, oh boy, you guys, you got a hold of demons and don't know it. You know, anybody think that, had any touch with this thing whatsoever. That's the first thing you'd think. Now, I want to tell you, as I've told you, I've memorized sections of this one. And apparently, in fact, I got on the telephone and called LAPD. Some of you hung up on that on TV. Because they're recommended in the back to give a reference for this guy. I called the Los Angeles Police Department and asked them about him. And they said, yes, sir. There was some woman, she sounded like a lion on the telephone. And she came on the telephone. You had all kind of noise in the background and horns blowing. And I said, I've read the book here. It's in the back, the recommendation. She said, yes, sir. We'll give Dr. Friesen a recommendation. Everything he says is true. And says, when we don't believe him, we still know it's true. Now, that, evidently, she was one of these tough, hard-bitten women cops. That's what she was saying. And so, in working in the 1950s with this woman, Eva, they found out that Eva was three persons in one. Now, when they discovered this, they wrote the book, The Three Faces of Eve, and then most universities started gently, real gently, to introduce a course on this phenomena, which these two Southern doctors named MPD, Multiple Personality Disorder. There, what these two doctors put down could not be gainsaid. That, at Princeton, they shouted them down, wanted to revoke their license. And when they went through the records and interviewed the woman, they scratched their head and said, look, these guys know what they're talking about. That's Princeton Medical School. Harvard Medical School. And so, as a result of discovering that... Now look, I want to tell you something. No doubt, this woman's case was demon possession. No doubt. Because when Eva Black, black and white, when Eva Black gets up and goes through the gyrations of a nightclub dancer, it has a connection in hell. Okay? It has a connection in viciousness and enticement and evil. It has that connection there. All right, now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, Brother Randy, are you saying this was Peter's problem? I'm not saying this was Peter's problem, but I'm saying Peter had three personalities in him. Let me give an illustration. Most of you are familiar with 2 Chronicles 7:14. That verse, I preached that verse in Africa for 17 years more than any other verse. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. This is God talking. Seek my face. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, heal their land. Now let me show you something. The word face. In the Hebrew language, face is not in singular. In the Hebrew language, even today, face, is, the word is panim, P-A-N-I-M. Look, even Strong's has it. In the Hebrew language, face is always plural. It's never singular. But in order for it to be translated to us in English, they had to drop the plural and make it a singular. God said, if you'll seek my face. Now, if you want really what God is saying, God says, if you'll seek my faces. If you'll seek my
Read it. Faces. But if it said faces, we said, man, that's stupid English. We'd throw it out. So you had to drop the plural and make it a singular. And let me tell you something. Do you know God has a lot of faces? Hey, I got a few too. Have you? Huh? No, you angels, you can park for a while and hang your wings up, if you don't mind. In fact, when God made man in our image, made man in his image and after his likeness, if God has faces, panem, I am is always plural in Hebrew, I am, like S in English, panem, seek my faces. You know, run Strong's on God's face in the Bible. He has a face of anger, a face of hatred, a face of love, a face of judgment, a face of consternation. God has a lot of faces. I mean, you've got a lot of faces. You put on one face when you're there with your husband. You see the preacher pulling up, you put on another face. Amen? Right? You put on one face when you're there on your own. You put on one face when things don't go to please you. In fact, you can act as mean as the devil. And these faces flash out and flash out and flash out and flash out and flash out. And I want to tell you, it can be changed instantly, like that, at the appearing of certain people. There were some people in my wife and I, in our family, dear people we loved, and Mom and I noticed it on numerous occasions. And they would be performing, like some of you do at home. They would be performing. And I'm going to tell you, when Mom and I went through the door, preacher, it vanished. And they became they became normal people. Now, I'm using those illustrations to show you that we've all got a bit of Peter's problem. Yeah. Just hang on now. I'm getting a sweat burst up here now. We'll get going in just a minute. Let's see. All right. Now, I know you're thinking, well, Brother Pike, if a person has that, he's got a demon. Now, that's not necessarily so and probably not so. And I'm trying to take Peter as the example out of that realm where everybody, where a lot of people want to push him. And I'm trying to put him right here in this realm, MPD. Multiple personality disorder. Now, I want to show you, Brother Peter had some disorders. Like I got some, and you probably got a half one. Most of you. Multiple personality disorders, all right? His three names. We've read them for you here in John chapter 1. I want to touch just lightly on each of the three names and bring it to a conclusion for you. Peter's three names. And each name reveals a different whatever of Peter. His first name is Simon. Simon. It's mentioned over 50 times in the New Testament. That one, Simon, first name. And Simon means one who listens well. But if you know anything about Peter, most of the time, he was popping off his mouth instead of listening well. Over 50 times, he's Simon, and he listens well. Now, what I've done, I've gone to every word reference where it's Simon and looked at the whole immediate and distant context, and I want to tell you what I've come up with. Wherever it's Simon, here's what we find. We find a hard-working fisherman. He's busy mending nets. He's even helping his dad, even though his dad has hired servants. You'd think, he'd say, well, let the servants do it, man. I'm going fishing or whatever, you know. He's helping his dad. Now, let me give you a bit more. Now, Simon is a practical, likable, Simon is a good old country boy that'll do anything in the world to help anybody. That's one of the personalities that Peter had. And this side comes out of him. All right? Just real quickly. Now, this is a self-check. Tony used a good word here for it this morning. This is a self-check. Now, I want to check me. Come on now. Stay with me. Do I have that practical cornbread buttermilk every day, good old country boy, country girl, help anybody in the world, go with them the extra mile? Do I have that side about me? Now, that's the side everybody likes. I mean, whether you're a sinner or a saint, people like that side about you. Everybody likes that side. They appreciate that side. You can be the biggest devil in town, but if that side's there, people just gravitate to you because they like that side. I got out, I noticed some of the old school pictures some time ago, and I began to look over my class, and I began to think about this. You know, when you get older, you look back and think about this one. And I thought about two boys I went to school with, Richard Smith and Wayne Robinson. And those two, but we had a class of about 60 in our class. And, you know, even when I was in that class, these two guys were different. Now, they weren't withdrawn. They didn't sit out, you know, and read the Britannica Encyclopedia with glasses that thick, you know. You've seen these pictures and that kind. Wayne Robinson was the son of a door-to-door salesman. And Richard Smith, his dad, was a fisherman down there on the Cumberland River. But these guys were different. And they were always different. And when I finally had to leave high school through losing use of my legs in that accident and so forth, many years later I went back and held a meeting in my village town. And Richard Smith and Wayne Robinson ended up the principal of the biggest high school in Nashville, Tennessee, the big Jewish high school, Isaac Lipton. Wayne Robinson ended up, he's dead now. And Richard Smith ended up as a pilot for Transworld Airways. And when I went back, those boys came, and my life was right with God, and I said, "Now look, sit down." I said, "Tell me." I look back at school, you know, when they're talking dirty and doing things, you know, and going on. You know how it is in school, high school. I said, "Tell me, Richard and Wayne, was it Christ that made the difference?" And both of them said, "It surely was. That's what made the difference." And because that made the difference, those guys had a side about them that was like a magnet. Now, a lot of the other guys picked on them. They never played football. Well, they're weasels. That was our name. They're sissies. We had a couple other names weren't so nice for them, you know, we'd call them. I'd join in and call them that. But underneath, I knew these guys were right. And so when we look at this fellow called Simon, he has a side about him that's a good side, an amiable side. Everybody likes it. There's nothing in the world wrong with it. This side is in Peter. And I wish I could say, and that's all there is to him. Let's close our Bibles and go home. We'll see this kind of man in heaven. But I can't. He has another name, and that name is Peter. Now listen. Now Peter is mentioned over 100 times in 5 books. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. That's a big load. Over 100 times in 5 books. And do you know what Peter means? It means a little chip off of a big stone. Little chip. You know, you sweep it away, you don't want it. Now, when we read about Peter, Petros, nominative singular, Petros, Omicron Sigma ending, Petros, Peter, a little chip off the stone. Now, when we read about this fellow, here's what comes out. This side. He's a strong, harsh, brash, disrespectful. He stands up and challenges the Son of God face to face. You're not going to do that. Simon would have never done that. Peter would and did. You're not going to die on the cross. Christ said, "Get behind me, you what? Devil." Wow. That's a few more things. He's full of debate. Debate, 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 debate. Almost, except in 2 places in the New Testament, every issue that's up, Peter is contrary. "Well, I don't see it that way." Sound like some of these in what used to be a Baptist business meeting. I mean, you could have Paul the apostle there and the 12 apostles, and they would agree, and some sourpuss would get up and say, "Well, I don't see it that way." You know, he comes to church, well, he visits on Christmas. You know how it is. Now, that's the kind of, look, Peter was always busy, and he's always an individual who's full of contradiction and agitation. Let me tell you something. Peter had a side about him that continually stole the peace from the apostolic band. Hey, anybody here got a side about you? And when it rises up and gets in the driver's seat, it steals peace. Peace from your family, peace from your home, peace from your job, peace from your workmates, peace from yourself. You're miserable with yourself. Got that side? Boy, you sure are quiet tonight. Maybe I should have preached on God His love. You'd have been shouting. Don't like this? Hey, boy, we're going to get right down there where the rubber hits the road. Now, I want to tell you, I need a big mirror stuck right up in front of me. If you want to know what I am, you get that woman right there to tell you the truth. She's been living me, what, soon? 47 years, 46 years. I better remember. Our wedding anniversary. Okay? You ask her right there. Right there. And then if you really want to know, when my children were little, get one of them off, buy them an ice cream cone, get real nice, say, hey, how does your daddy act? What? Or how does your mommy act? Right? You see what I'm trying to show you? Here's one man, Peter. Here's Simon, the side everybody likes. Here's the side called Peter, and nobody likes that side. Because, brother, when that guy... You see, in Matthew 16, on one occasion, Jesus went up to Mount Hermon, north, the highest mountain in the land of Palestine, where there's a big rock split open, and the water, it's still there today. It's called Panamas. Tourists go there today, to Panamas, okay? It's Philippi, Caesarea in the Bible. And Jesus went up there in Matthew 16, and they sat down under that big rock, and they're all, and the water was running out, and it's still there today, and the stones are washed smooth, and there's a little sliver that's everywhere, and then there's a big rock that's cracked with the water, the snow's melting from Mount Hermon, and it's pure water coming out of that rock. And Jesus sits down, this is the background to Matthew 16, and Christ sits down there with his disciples, and he says, hey men, we've been in the ministry now about almost 18 months, 2 years, who are people saying that I am? Somebody said, well, I heard somebody say it's Jeremiah. I heard somebody say you're a prophet risen from the dead. Somebody back in the back said, hey, Lord, I heard somebody say you're somebody else. And Jesus says, Peter, Simon, who do you say I am? And boy, Simon answered, you're the Messiah, the Moshiach, the Son of the living God. And Christ said, blessed, Makarios, happy are you, Simon. I mean, been happy to stay with that. Flesh and blood, you didn't get this from Lang's commentary. My Father which is in heaven revealed it to you. And then about two breaths later, Christ is saying, I'm going to Jerusalem to be crucified. And Peter comes out, brother, like a locomotive across the campus there with his eyes extended, whistling at the ears. You're not going to die. Be it far from you. Oh, Lord. And Jesus said, you get behind me, you devil. You see the two personalities there coming out? Let us get the last one. Well, it's in John 1:42. I read it for you in the text. John 1:42. In the context here, this is Peter's first appearing in Scripture. His first appearing. And the reason he appeared, he heard John the Baptist was down there preaching and the nation was turned upside down. They hadn't had a preacher like John in 400 years since Malachi finished off the last book of the Old Testament. And now, remember, Peter lived, 180 miles round trip up north. He lived at Tiberias. John 2:44 is clear. He lived at Tiberias. And word spread about John the Baptist, so Peter goes to Andrew and some of his fishing pals and says, hey, guys, you been hearing about that man they called John down there preaching? They said, yeah. Peter said, I'm going to take off a couple of days. I'm going to go hear him. That's exactly what happened. And Peter walks 90 miles one way. Peter walks 180 miles, and he stands there and hears John preach. And Peter's brother Andrew goes and spends the night with Jesus. And the next morning, Andrew's running all over the crowd. Where's my brother? Where's my brother? And he finds his brother and said, come on, brother. I want you to meet this man I just spent the night with. And he brings him up and he says, Messiah, Moshiach, Jesus. He said, this is my brother, Petros. This is my brother. And Jesus looks at, and Jesus doesn't say, glad to know you, Peter. I mean, it's in the text here. I read it for you. It's clear as a bell there in that verse. I read you in verse 42. Jesus looks at him and here's what he says. In the text there, Christ says, he says, you're the son of Jonas, you're Simon. But he said, I said, I've got a little prophetic forecast for you. way on down the road, you're going to be a Cephas. Cephas in the Greek. You're going to be a Cephas. And you know what Cephas has reference to? Cephas has reference to that big rock that was split open that the little chip, Peter, had been broken off of. Cephas has reference to that Mount Hermon, the highest mountain, a solid rock, gushing out pure water from the snows as they melt. And here's Andrew with his eyes hanging out like organ stops. And here's Peter with his beard trembling. And the Son of God says, I know who your dad, your dad's name Jonas. And he said, nobody told him, oh boy, what I got here. But I said, I want to tell you something. Way on down the road, in other words, if I can paraphrase for you, when I'm through with you in about 35 or 40 years, you're going to be that big rock with water gushing out. And these other two guys will succumb and bow out of your life. Now let's go to the last verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to close. 2 Peter 3. Well, most of us could quote it. We know it that well. Now here we are 35 or 40 years later, something like that. That's close enough. And Peter has just written two books. God thought so much of them, he put them in the New Testament. He's not ranting and raving, Dave. Something's happened. He's just written two books. All right, as you've heard before. Now I want to show you the last thing Peter, that Simon Peter Cephas said to the world. The last thing. Look at the last verse of 2 Peter chapter 3. All right. What's the last thing you want to tell the world? You that's had three in you. And it's been raising sand and hurting people and bringing anguish and sorrow to your home and to your family and to your workmates and to your church and to your assembly. What's the last thing you want to tell the world, Peter? Look at 2 Peter 3:18. Peter says, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can't beat that with a drum, can you, Bob? Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you do that, to Him be glory in the text, both now and forever. Okay? There's a man called Peter. He had a Simon. He had a Peter personality. He had a Cephas personality. Now I want to close this message by transferring it over on you as I've transferred it first on me. Do I have a side of me that needs to be worked on? In these books is called Alter, A-L-T-E-R. I don't know, Jim, if you study this business, not in medicine. That's the medical side for it, Alter, A-L-T-E-R. I wonder, do you have an altar in you that is an absolute hell raiser? You hate it. It's worse than having AIDS. And the damage it does when it's all over and you switch from Peter back to Simon, you're pulling your hair out and say, what in the world? Am I insane? What have I done? Do you? The fellow that started all said, start growing in grace. Now, I know some of you say, well, it's none of your business what I do. Well, be that, brother, it's the business of that book. That book will bust my hide wide open and tan and skin it and salt dry it and hang it on. That book will do that. As I've told you over and over and over and over, this thing has to start at my home. Has to start at your home. You young people thinking about marriage and courting, hey, you better hear what this old man's telling you. If you got five or six, if you got a personality in you, if you're the kind of young woman and you go crazy, and I saw a woman one time, I went to visit home, and I saw a woman go into a and preacher, so help me, she went in the bathroom and clogged some of the wallpaper down with her claw, with her fingernails from the wall. She was in the church regularly. Boy, she had one, didn't she? She had an altar that ought to be spelled with capital letters. Now look, you see, look, I'm getting right down here where I live and where you live. Now the preacher said, I want God. I want to worship. And that, look, that is right.
And so wherever you are, however you sit, however this fits, this thing starts. You say, I've been in the church 30 years. I want to, you can stay in the church 100 years and not grow one inch in grace. I want to tell you, Brother Page, I have seen husbands and wives come to church 20, 30 years, and that woman will grow and grow and grow, and so help me, that turkey, he won't grow one inch. He's still as mean as the devil when he started 30 years ago. He's still mad. She's still mad. She's still demanding, get me this and get me that and get me the other and make me happy. And they're sitting in church. Brother, if you're going to have a church like that, shut it down, Brother Thompson, and go somewhere else. There's enough hypocrites in the church. I've witnessed to enough people and given out enough tracts. I had a black girl to tell me up here at one of these drive-in places. She said, you can take it back because my daddy is a preacher and he's a phony. Phew. I said, thank you, honey. I just drove off. I'm not going to say any more. We're going to have the right kind of church here. Folks, that's where we've got to start. Right there. Man called Peter. Let's stand and pray, shall we? Well, we've looked at Peter's names, and what a shocker it is. But Cephas is admirable. In his last words, oh, I tell you, they're seductive, aren't they? Grow in grace. You grow through Scripture, through suffering, through service. That's how you grow in grace. Lord, thank you for the time together and bless this conclusion. And if there be a Simon or a Peter or a Cephas here, and your Holy Spirit has ferreted them in their corner, we pray that the work that only God's grace can do will be done for Jesus' sake. We're going to keep our heads bowed. I'm going to ask our musicians to play through one verse in chorus of whatever they have. If God's been speaking, if you're lost, you need Jesus Christ. You need to be saved, man, is what you need. And we can show you how to be saved. However, basically the message was aimed at us guys and us girls. You know where you stand. You want to put some of these things right? You want to make that first step forward right now, do you? First step forward in putting these things right. Growing. If you do, come and find your place of altar. We'll have an altar of prayer tonight.